Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of God. I've really enjoyed the meeting up till about 3 minutes ago. And then I don't know how a man can love to do something so well and dread it so much. But I'm glad God called me. I really am. I wouldn't take $1 million for the calling that's on my life. I cannot imagine how that people whom have been deceived or foolishly or whatever has given up the right to ever preach again. I don't know how that they live to wake up in the morning and know I can't ever preach again. I didn't know I was going to say that. I never know what I'm going to say, hardly, but I didn't know I was going to say that. And a lot of the preachers here, they're all greater than I, many of them older. But I'd extend you a word of advice. Make sure you don't disqualify yourself. It can be done. We're living an hour today that it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of difference in some places. But in the Bible, it still makes a difference. And I just you may think I speak foolish, but I'm being honest. I'd rather die today. As long as everything's right between me and God, I'd rather die than to think I could never preach again. And after this, you may say, well, you can't. But anyway, we are going to give it a try. Appreciate Brother Webb. Appreciate the church here. You've just treated us so good, and we're glad for that. I've only got one complaint. You're doing pretty good for man only got one complaint. I wish that I could get a couple of these good, strong brothers around here to get hold of this clock back here behind me and carry it up there where I can see it. But since I can't, I'll just watch your face. It'll usually tell me when it's time to quit. That will usually get it done. If you would, this morning, we're not going to spend a lot of time preliminaries. The food's been great. We've been treated good. Honestly, we don't have a complaint. It's been good. Turn with us to the book of St. John's Gospel, chapter 5. And we'd like to say the preaching's been good every service. We've enjoyed it. And I've learned over the years that that's one of the things I avoid. I like to acknowledge it. But me pulling your attention to what they preach just makes mine look that much worse. So just forget about what they preached, all right? Just pretend like I'm the first one. It's uphill from here on. Amen. St. John's Gospel. Chapter 5, and if you don't mind, would you stand with us for the reading of God's Word? After this, verse 1, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Father, we thank you, O God, for this privilege, Lord, of being in your house this morning. God, we thank you for old friends. We thank you, God, for new friends. We thank you most of all for the love that you have for us. We pray now, God, that you'd bless us and help us, O Lord. Anoint our heart, God. Our lips will take care of themselves if you'll anoint our heart. For out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak. We'll give you the praise, honor, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you. I would like to promise you this will not be a dry service. I hope it's not. Brother Barnett's part won't be, but I hope my part's not. But I really can't promise you that this won't be a dry sermon because I've known a lot of preachers, and I've known me better than I have any of the rest of them. And I've found out that all of them, I think, have a dry one now and then. I have a few more than some people do. I can't promise you it won't be dry. I don't have, and you say, well, you need to pray more. I know that. I understand that, but But I've also found that there are times, no matter what you do, Brother Barnett, they're still just dry. There ain't no other word to use for them. They're dry. And I've just found that sometimes there's nothing I can do about that. But if there's anything worse than a dry message, it's a long, dry message. And there ain't ever a whole lot I can do about the dry, but there is something to me, and if you don't mind me advising some of the rest of you, there's something all of us can do about long. All right, so if we got to be dry, we'll try to keep it short. All right, let Brother Barnett take over. We find here that at the pool of Bethesda, that Jesus asked a question of a man. It's old scripture, of course. It's a familiar scripture. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Brother Webb asked us to preach, and we're so thankful for that opportunity, but Brother Webb asked us to preach. It was only a matter of minutes until I felt this message on my heart. And I felt real good with it until last night, and I went to bed and went to sleep about 11, and got a phone call about 12, and woke up, and the phone call was a good one, but guess who was there when I woke up at midnight? And so I struggled with it, and I pulled with it, and I wrestled with it. But I still feel this is the way that God would have us to go. And I want to preach to you this morning that the search goes on. The search goes on. And I thought as I was coming that of messages that we've preached in the past and years gone by, And I just, you know, you get your mind on that kind of stuff. But I love birds. I love Vance Havner. I guess that's one of the things he and I had that in common. We love birds. Now, I love eating them, too, if they're the right type. But I love birds. And I thought this morning that I'd really, if God would permit it, and I'll take a few minutes here, my message won't take very long. I thought about how that it had begun to rain. And how when the sun's shining out pretty, and I don't hear well, so I miss it a lot, but the birds, and they sing, it's a wonderful thing to listen to a bird singing. It really is. It's good. And when springtime comes and the sun's shining and the birds are singing, it's just hard not to feel good. And when the sun's shining and the flowers are blooming, it's hard not to sing, even if you're not a bird. But the robin, I've thought about the robin. He has this, I'm just throwing these in extra here while I settle down a little bit. The robin has a unique characteristic about it among all the birds that I'm familiar with in North America. Redbird, a cardinal, he's a beautiful bird. The old blue jay is a beautiful bird, the eastern blue bird. I know you didn't come to hear about birds, but anyway, you won't leave on me for a few minutes maybe. And they're beautiful birds, but Brother Barnett, that robin has a unique characteristic about him. When the rain comes, that beautiful cardinal will go somewhere to a cedar tree or a pine tree or evergreen or some kind, and he'll get right in the deepest part of it, and tuck his head under his wing, and he'll sit there till the sun shines. Hello? But you know what that robin does? It doesn't make one bit of difference how hard it rains. That robin just keeps right on singing. It's the only bird that I know of that sings when it rains. Now you could take a great artist and he could catch another bird about the size of a robin, and I'm beginning to feel pretty good. We may just preach on a robin. Amen. He could catch another bird about the size of a robin, the shape of a robin, and if he's a great artist, he could paint that bird up and you couldn't tell it from a robin. If he's out in your yard looking for a worm, you'd say, "Look at that robin." But when the rain comes, you'll tell whether he's a painted up bird or whether he's a robin. Because if he's a real robin, he'll sing right on through the rain. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said true worshipers will worship. Amen. They shall worship. The rain doesn't stop a robin from singing. Later on this evening, the sun will go down. Darkness will take over the earth. Most of the birds will go to roost. Right. Amen. But there's one bird, you know what he is, or at least you know about him. It's a mockingbird. Yeah. You know what he'll do? He'll sing in the nighttime. Yeah. Amen. Now, I know there, you know, we got owls, but I wouldn't really call that singing. Amen. We got owls and maybe a whippoorwill or something, but as far as just a songbird, the old mockingbird, he's the only one that sings during the nighttime. But he'll still sing, amen, in the darkest of the night. He'll sit down right up on the peak of your house, and he'll just sing his heart out. I went to sleep before to the singing of a mockingbird.
You can paint him up to look like a mockingbird, but when dark comes, he'll quit singing. He'll be gone, but if he's a mockingbird, amen, he'll sit right up there and sing right on through the nighttime. Hello? Amen. I thought about the old heath hen. Now, you've probably never heard of a heath hen. They've been extinct for 100 years, more or less. But they used to be over on the East Coast, and he's kind of like a prairie chicken or a grouse would probably be the closest thing you have. Used to be millions of them. And they would gather together every spring up around Martha's Vineyard in that part of the country. And the old heath hen had a dance that they went through every spring. Amen. Millions of them would come there. Brother Barnett, it wasn't necessarily a thing of beauty, and I'm getting about too old to imitate it. Amen. But when the heath hens came, amen, the spring of the year, you know what they'd do? They'd gather up by the millions, and they just go to jumping up and down. Hallelujah. And after a while, Brother Webb, the heath hens began to kind of dwindle away. Amen. But they still kept on a coming. They still kept on a jumping up and down. Y'all still out there? Amen. This will help us if we'll listen to it, and I'll get to my message. Amen. They'd come. They'd just a few hundred thousand now, but they're still jumping. Amen. Time passed and the numbers kept dwindling and down and down. And people got to coming from thousands of miles just to watch the heath hens when they come. You know, we really started acting like Pentecostals again. It ain't no telling how far some people would come just to see us acting like that. Hallelujah. Amen. But time passed. I've got to hurry. Amen. I don't know why, but I have. I can always quit. Amen. But time passed and they dwindled on down and down and down. And one year they gathered in to see the heath hens come. And when it was the time for the heath hens to come, they're standing around there watching and there's no heath hens. Amen. They wait for a few days. They're about ready to leave. And somebody somewhere said, there's one. And one old heath hen comes down over the horizon. Amen. Comes back down to the stomping grounds. I don't know how you'd have felt about it, but if I'd have been the last heath hen, I'd have been like Elijah. I'd have said, I'm the only one left. They've killed off the rest of them. I'm just going to quit all this nonsense. But he couldn't do that because he was a heath hen. You hear what I'm talking about? Amen. He marched right back down there in that valley, wherever it was that they danced, and that one old heath hen, he never hesitated. Hated a moment. You know what he did? Hallelujah. Come on now. Amen. Why'd he do that? Because he was a heath hen. Amen. He really didn't have any choice. He was a heath hen. I'll tell you, amen. Nature teaches us a lot of things if we'd listen to it. Amen. Well, I got to talk about two more birds and then we'll get to our scripture, I think. Amen. I may think of some more birds. Amen. Yeah, there's time, even in the lifetime of most of us, that the bluebirds, the little eastern bluebirds, one of the prettiest of the birds, I think, and the wood duck, most definitely probably the prettiest of the North American waterfowl that we have, they were almost gone. There was hardly any of them left. And I don't care if it's a buzzard, amen. I'd hate to see them just all disappear, wouldn't you? I mean, I got a little sympathy for that kind of stuff, amen. But they were just about gone, and people were missing them. And we've got some things that's just about gone, and I'm missing them already. Y'all still out there? Amen. We've got things like divine healing that we've seen so little of that some people's beginning to deny it. Are you still out there? But I said it, Brother Joyce, and I'll repeat it for your sake. If divine healing is not real, divinity itself is not real. Amen. But if divinity is real, divine healing is real. And don't try to do away with divine healing just because you've lost faith in God, just because you no longer trust God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need divine healing this morning. Help me here this morning, oh Lord. But I see some things that are drifting away from us. And I don't like it, do you? Come on now. But the wood duck and the bluebird, they were just about gone. People got to missing them. You never do anything about it until you get to missing it. And so what they did is, and some of you will remember, we helped out in it, although most of this was before our time, not much, but before I really got involved in it, people began to build a little bluebird boxes. You see them all up the side of the road now, post after post after post. They began to build nesting boxes for wood ducks. Amen. Hear me now, if you don't learn anything else, you'll know about wood ducks and bluebirds after today. Amen. They began to build it. Why was it? They began to dam up some streams or open up some ponds or whatever it was, amen, and for the bluebirds and for the wood ducks. And now there's bluebirds all over the place. Wood ducks is one of the most common ducks in the United States of America. Why? Because people got concerned enough that they created a habitat for bluebirds and wood ducks. Well, I don't know how you're feeling about this, amen, but the Bible says I will create for him a habitat. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of Israel. Glory be to the Lamb of God. If you're beginning to miss some of what you've had with God, I've got good news for you this morning. You can create a habitat that God will love to inhabit. You can create I'll tell you, oh Lord, help me. Amen. Some people say the devil just hangs around my house all the time. Well, I've met him a few times, but I found out some things. He don't like amazing grace. Hello? Amen. I said he don't like amazing grace. And so I just tell him, Brother Barnett, I may not be able to run you out right now. I'm working on it. I may not be able to run you out. But I'll tell you one thing, devil. If you're going to hang around my house, you ain't going to be listening to Elvis. If you're going to hang around my house, you ain't going to be listening to the music of this world. If you're going to hang around my house, you're going to have to listen to amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Well, Lord, I'm beginning to feel pretty good here this morning. I'm beginning to enjoy the service already. I'm telling you, there's a habitat that we can create that God will inhabit, and the devil will flee from it.
Help me, Lord. My message won't take long, so just bear with me. Amen. Have you ever went to visit somebody, and they welcome you to the door and say, boy, I'm glad to see you. I'm just so glad to have you. And you go in and sit down, and I could almost be guilty of this because I'm a reading fanatic, but you go in and sit down, and, you know, they say, well, how are you? Well, fine, you know, and you sit down, and they reach over and pick up a newspaper. Hello? Amen. And Brother David, they read the newspaper. You know, every now and then they'll lower it down and make some kind of comment, you know, I think just to see if you're still sitting there. See if you're still hanging on. Well, after a while, you kind of get the idea, and you say, well, I'm so glad you come by. Help me here. Amen. I know about the beginning of every service, we invite the Lord into our presence. I'm all for that, although it's a wasted effort, really, because he's already here. We don't have to invite him in. We just ought to thank him for being here. Well, glory. And then, you know, I think sometimes that if we just treat him a little better while he is here, we just worship him a little more while he is here, we'd praise him a little more while he is here, if we seek his face a little more while he is here, amen, we don't have newspapers, but songbooks work pretty good. Come on now, hey man, I know everybody else is preaching ain't as dry as mine, but this wouldn't be, and I hadn't seen it yet, and hopefully now I won't, amen, but this wouldn't be the first service I've looked out while I was struggling, trying to come up something, Brother Ingram, just a pulling my guts out, hey man, and see somebody sitting back there thumbing through a songbook. Hello? Clipping their fingernails. Showing their baby pictures. If you don't see some baby pictures, we can probably come up with one or two. But they won't fade away. They won't just dissipate. They won't just vanish, amen, between now and the time that Brother Webb says come back tonight. Are y'all still out there? Amen. How would you feel, amen, if somebody invited you to their house and then you just ignored them? Wouldn't they come? Well, I got to preach message number 3 here. Amen. But he's a good God. Wilt thou be made whole? The Bible tells us that there was multitudes of people here around this pool.
It was not just two or three sick folks lying there. There was a multitude of them. And I know I'm changing gears real fast here, but I need to get through this. And there was a multitude of folks lying around this pool. It would be foolish to try to figure out how many a multitude designated. But we've got a good number here this morning, but I don't think that this would have qualified to be called a multitude. I believe that it was just a huge crowd of people. And they all had one thing in common. They had an affliction of one kind or the other. They're gathered around the pool. Some are close. Some are back far off. But they're all there by the pool waiting on the waters to be troubled. And all at once, the troubler of the waters appears. And he goes walking. Now, I know that I can't disprove exactly what I'm saying to you by the Word of God, but I believe you'll bear with me. We'll figure it out. I believe he goes walking around through the crowd. You may not be like me, but do you ever pass some of these people alongside the road that, you know, it says homeless will work for food? And I know that a good portion of them are just con artists. I know that. And most of the time, I'll confess to you, most of the time I just drive on by. Because I don't care anything about buying their alcohol and their cigarettes and their drugs. You know what I'm talking about? I just drive on by. But I don't think that I've ever passed one up. But what I haven't sent at least a silent and sometimes an audible plea up to God. God, give me enough discernment to know if one of those are genuine. If one of those really have hungry children at home. God, show me. Give me a spirit, whatever it is that I need. I'm not interested, and I'll take whatever God gives me. But I'm not talking about the spirit to try to find evil in you. Amen. You don't have to have a spiritual discernment to find evil in a lot of people anymore. It's all over them. And sometimes it ain't on them. Hello? We get that next while. Amen. But I've prayed, I've asked God, let me have just enough discernment that I will know when to stop and pass them people a part of what I've got, or all of what I've got, God, if that's your will. Just let me know. Have you ever did that? If you haven't, you probably will now. I mean, we may have passed up people that were genuinely hurting. And we've probably helped some people that wasn't. But I guess if I have to take my pick, I'd rather help three that didn't than to miss one that did. But the Lord Jesus, he didn't have that problem. He didn't have to walk through the crowd and say, I wonder if this is genuine. I wonder if this one's as sick as he says he is. I wonder if that one really can't walk, or perhaps he just doesn't walk. The Lord knew every one of them and what every one of their needs were, and yet he healed only one. Only one. Now, I know he only appeared to one widow woman. I know that there are times that we pray for a dozen, and God will choose somehow or the other in all of God's wisdom to heal one, and the other 11 he doesn't heal. I've never come to the place that I can understand that. But I have came to the place that I understand this. He is a good God. And whatever he does is right. And whatever he does is what needs to be done. So what will I do? I'll just keep on praying for the sick and let God heal whom he chooses to heal. So Jesus didn't walk through that crowd trying to figure out which one, amen, was genuine. He did not walk through that crowd trying to decide which one was in the worst condition. Yeah, that's the reason for me, that I esteem for myself so important to try to follow the will of God for the preaching in every service, whether it's at a camp meeting or in a nursing home or a jailhouse, because only God knows who needs what and needs it the worst. I can look out at a crowd of 20 handicapped people who may be lame, and they all. But in one of those, there may be one that has a spiritual need that overrides the other so far superior. Help me. I don't want this to be dry. I really don't. And I look at this, but the Lord, he didn't have to walk through the crowd deciding which one is real. Neither did he have to walk through the crowd deciding which one needed his
help the most? He didn't. Amen. He didn't just walk through there, you know, just wandering around. There are times that I can walk back through a congregation, and times that anyone could walk back through a congregation, amen, and walk fairly close to them and tell by the expression on their face if the message has touched them and what their need is. Amen. You don't even have to be spiritual to do that. A lot of times you can tell by the tears that's running down the eyes. You remember when tears used to run out of the eyes and run down the cheeks of people? Well, I know I ramble around too much. Amen. But I go, and you may not like this, but I'll have standing judgment for it, so just leave me alone. If I get a chance, I go in some worldly churches and preach. Somebody said, how do you do that? And I said, I will tell you the honest truth about it. I would rather see a woman kneeling at an altar with mascara running down her eye face, amen, and the streams of tears, looking like black paint running off a roof. I'd rather see that, Brother Webb, amen, than to see one that's dressed all to the T and seems to have everything, amen, but dried. You hearing me today? Amen, dried, hard-hearted, had nothing touched them in years. Come on, amen, they'll get up complaining. Well, I hope you understand what I'm talking about, but there was a time, church, that the Pentecostal holiness people was moved, amen, by the preaching of the gospel. It wasn't just entertainment. It wasn't who can out-preach who. It wasn't, I like this one and I like that one. But it was the presence of God, and it was the message behind that, amen. It was God speaking to us, and we were touched by it, but we became so hard-hearted.
Jesus walks through the crowd, and he comes to one man. He said, wilt thou be made whole? I've always wished, a lot of things I wished, but as far as preaching, number one, I wish I was a whole lot better preacher now, but just in my preaching, I would love to be able to use the tone of voice that I feel was being used when whatever was said was being said. I've heard when God walked through the garden, I've heard it said, and don't fall out with me. You're not going to agree with me on everything. But I've heard preachers, and when they've got God crying out for Adam, you know, just the way they cried out, if I'd been Adam, I'd have probably hid somewhere. Because you could tell, you know, they thought God was angry. I'm not telling you God was happy with it. But I believe if you could have heard the expression in God's words when he said, Adam, where art thou? You would have heard a plea, a search, a cry for Adam. I'd love to be able to put the expression into the words, and I'd love to be able to paint a visual picture of what we're seeing. And if I could paint you a visual picture here this morning, I would like to paint you a picture of the Son of God himself walking through all of this crowd of afflicted people. Now, the Bible tells us that he is moved, amen, by our afflictions. He is moved by our infirmities. The Bible tells us, and it doesn't have to tell us, we know that even without the Bible, but it tells us that he is a compassionate Christ. And I don't get into the Greek and the Hebrew too much. As you can tell, I still struggle with the English. I'm not getting into the Greek and the Hebrew too much, but I did read somewhere that word compassionate, and some maybe y'all can tell me it doesn't, but if you're going to, wait till after this is over. It sure tear my message up. That the word compassionate means to suffer with. He suffered with them. You and I walk through them and feel sorry for them. You and I will walk past them and for a few brief moments grieve for them. But if I'm correct, and if whoever I read that after was correct, he not only grieved for them, he suffered with them. How, when you're suffering with them, could you not just stop at the very first one? Christ could have stopped on the outside edge, that perimeter of that pool, of that crowd. He could have stopped on the outside of it and just lifted his voice up and said, be healed. And everybody in that crowd
would have came up shouting and rejoicing. Everybody, you hearing me? Every one of them would have been healed by him just speaking the word. And they all had needs. And the Bible says he knows what we have need of even before we ask it. He knew what their needs were. But he did not stop at the first one. I don't know what it was, where he was in rank, but I don't believe it. He stopped at the first several. He walked right on by. And probably pleased coming out. Lord help me. And he singles out one man. And if I could show you the expression I feel was on Christ's face. I don't know. I have a great problem. I know that Christ was both God and man. I don't have a problem in knowing it. I have a problem in understanding it. And I sometimes, Brother Webb, I have a problem in my own life separating Christ God from Christ man. There are some things in the Bible you read of and you know immediately that's God. And then there are other things, and it's hard for me to even speak like this. I sure don't mean it irreverent, but there are other times that you read and you see the attributes of man in Christ himself. He was tempted in like manner as we are. He was tempted in all manners. He suffered pain like a man. He died a death like a man. And he came up in the resurrection like God. That's hard for me to understand. He really is. But if I could see, amen, if Christ was ever discouraged, and I cannot help but believe that he was discouraged in some degree. Because when most of the disciples had left him, he looked around at the handful that was left. And he said, will you too go away? I know what I feel the look on Christ's face was. Because I've seen it on my own. I've seen it on a lot of preachers. When they were preaching under a burden and reaching for somebody. Come on now. You've preached the best you know how to preach. You felt the anointing of God. And nobody moves. And so a search starts. A search starts. Not for somebody that needs a touch. Not for somebody that may need a touch and doesn't even know they need a touch. I quit school in the 8th grade. You can probably tell that. I went back at 50 and got my GED. And it's somewhere if we haven't lost it. Hadn't helped me none since I got it. Probably wouldn't have helped me before I got it. But anyway, you young people, just shut your ears to that. I went back. But one of the things that always aggravated, now I was just raised about 3 hours from here, and one of the things that just always bugged the daylights out of me was this can and May business. I didn't know what May was, the month that come right after April, and right before June. That's all I knew about May. And can, I knew what can was. You would have thought Mom's first name was Can. Because over and over, I remember saying, Canna Mom, Canna Mom, Canna Mom. Help me now. You're getting tired of me. I don't need the clock. But I'm just getting there. But they would tell me then when I got to school, I would ask my teacher, can I go to the restroom? Can I go to the library? And you know what they'd say a lot of times? I never did like it. They'd say, are you able? So gradually over the years, I caught on. If I say, can I, that means do I have the ability. If I say, may I, that means do I have permission. And the Lord was looking for somebody. He was not looking, amen. The word can I never came into the vocabulary of Jesus. If I'd walked through that crowd, I would have had to looked around and said, that one needs this. Can I help? This one needs that. Can I help? I'd have had to pick out one. Maybe had the least need there, but one, Brother Barnett, that I felt like I had the ability to do something for. Christ didn't have to do that. When he walked through that crowd, it mattered not if they did not have a limb to their body. if they'd been without arms, without legs, if they had been blind from birth, if they had never spoken or never heard a word, Brother Webb, he never one time had to say, can I do anything about this? Amen. He could. You hearing what I'm telling you? He had the ability. He was not looking. And when he spake to this man, he was not saying, can I? Neither was he, as the charismatic started and the Pentecostal holiness people has fell right into the group with him. Neither was he saying, do you have the faith to be healed? He never asked Lazarus if he had the faith to be healed. But when he said Lazarus came forth, Lazarus come forth. Amen. Are you still out there? If you'd have taken a survey that day, there was not a man, woman, boy, or girl in that entire crowd that believed Lazarus was fixing to come out of that tomb. But yet when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus came forth. He was not looking. Amen. He was not asking this man. And I know there was time. He said, according to your faith. He was not asking this man, you have the faith to be healed. The charismatics preach healing, but they don't have it. So they had to come up with something to cover their efforts at preaching on healing. Can't take the blame yourself, you know. So what do? You blame it on whoever you're praying for. They didn't have the faith. If any among you be sick, let him call for the elders of the church. They shall anoint him with oil and pray, and the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. Who's praying? Who's praying? Is it not the elders that's praying? It's not that person that's sick that's praying. I've not been near as sick as some of you have, and I've been so sick that I could not pray for myself. I've been so sick that I'll be perfectly frank with you. Faith was the last thing on my mind. But even right in that, there's been some old-time, holiness, living, sanctified children of God that has prayed their prayer of faith, and I was healed.
Oh, God. He wasn't asking if you believe. He had tried to help, and I'm fixing to close real soon. He had tried to help so many people that did not want help. That the search was not for somebody he could help, but the search was for somebody that would allow him to help them. I felt this before I came. I don't claim to be anything great. There's times I come and don't feel anything. But I felt this even just a few minutes, I think it was, after Brother Webb. I felt this to preach right here. The search goes on. And the search is going on right now. Right here in this building. Christ is walking up and down the aisles saying, May I help you? I know you've got a need. I know you're sick. I know you're bound. I know... Amen, Brother Barnett preached to us yesterday on forgiveness. I know that you have this bitterness in your heart towards someone else. May I help you? May I help you? Pray for me, would you? May I help you? Not everybody wants to help. First time I ever preached from this scripture, and I know I've got to rush. Amen. First time I ever preached from this scripture, Brother L.D. Moore was there. I didn't get to know Brother Moore like a lot of you did, but I'll always cherish that one experience because while I was preaching, Brother Moore got up and came out where I was rambling up and down the aisles and put his arm around me, and Brother Joy walked up and down there with me a time or two and helped me preach, and he called me Chief, and he said, Chief, I believe God called you to preach. Amen. But I said, amen, that not everybody wants help. Oh, I wish I'd have started this earlier. Amen. Not everybody wants help. And Brother Moore told me, he said, Brother Cheek, I've never heard it preached just the way you preached it. But I know you're telling it right because he said, we had a man in our church. And he said he was sick and he got his disability. And he came up for prayer one time to be prayed for, and he told us, he said, he told me, I believe he said, anyway, he told them, he said, I want you to pray for me, but don't pray too hard. I do not want to lose my check.
There are people that does not want to be made whole. Another man I knew of that day, he had been in a wheelchair for years. He heard about a preacher he had a lot of confidence in. I'm trying to hear. They loaded him in the car, took him to hear that preacher. And while he was there, they prayed for him. He'd been in a wheelchair for years. Lived about, I believe it was about 5 miles from where they were at. And he got up and walked. And when they got ready, they wheeled his wheelchair over there to take him home. He said, I don't want the wheelchair. I don't want the car. I'm going to walk home. And I believe it was 5 miles. The man walked home after having not walked for years. Amen. That is not just an adrenaline rush. That is a healing that come from God. He walked for 5 miles. They went on home in the car. And when the man, when they got there before the man did, they wheeled a wheelchair back over. If it's sitting right here, they pushed his wheelchair back over there and set it down in a normal place. And that man came in after walking 5 miles, walked over and sat down in that wheelchair and never got out of it again as long as he lived. Do you hear what I'm preaching to you? There are some people that don't want to be made whole. I don't know what he got to thinking about on the way back, but he evidently got to thinking about some of the things this was going to cost him. And so he went back to his wheelchair. Some people don't want to be made whole. And I'm about half through my closing. Some people don't want to be made whole. Bear with me now. Because for years they've been no benefit to the church. Hello? They've never helped in an afternoon meal. Y'all still out there? Got kind of quiet on me there. I didn't know whether you heard me or not. Hello? They've never paid a nickel in tithes. They've never given in an offering. They just... dead weight. Help me, oh Lord. I like being an evangelist. I can say things like that and the crowd don't run off. But if you're made whole, if you don't have a job, you ain't able to work, we don't expect any tithes from you. And neither does God. But if you're made whole, you're going to have to pay tithe. If you're made whole, you're going to have to go to work. And there are some people that would rather be spiritually sick or physically sick than to have to go to work for God. So I'm asking you here this morning. I know it would have probably, in some ways, we got a good crowd, but if it had been full, it would have been a little easier to preach, you'd expect. But I didn't know how many was going to be here. But God knew several days ago. When he spoke this message to my heart. I'm not going to give an altar call. I'm going to get out of the way. And Brother Barnett, I apologize. I probably already went too far. Help me, oh Lord. But if I was the last speaker, I'd start to search all over again. I'd walk up and down the aisles and look you in the eyes and try to get you to see the question that God is asking of you. May I make you whole. There's a lot willing to be healed, but where are those that desires to be made whole? I pray, and Brother Barnett gives an altar service here after a while. But when Brother Joy Hight gives an altar service tonight, I want you to listen to every word they've got to say. Because both of them will say, I'm not going to say better words, but we'll say it in a better way than what I can. But I hope somewhere in the back of your mind, the thought still remains. Will I let him?